Hey, this is Kent here at MindChange, and we will be having a Q&R episode coming up soon. We'd love to respond to your questions in this audience-driven episode, so please send them to podcast@mindchange.com. When you send in your questions, please attach an audio recording of it, stating your name, where you are from, and then clearly asking your question for us. Please also transcribe your question in written form on the email when you send it in. We look forward to hearing from you.
That being painful, awful, terrible monthly doesn't make sense. Because how then should we feel compelled to bring other people into this world if we're miserable every month, if we're in pain every month, if we're struggling every month? That to me doesn't, that isn't a procreative thought process.
Welcome to the Mind Change Podcast. I'm your host, Heather McKean, speaker and author of the bestseller, Mind Change, and creator of the Mind Change Method. Out of the ashes of my own healing journey, I became an armchair expert in the mind-body connection and the neurobiology of trauma. Using the methods we will discuss on this podcast, we have helped countless people transform issues that previously seemed impossible to overcome. Each week, we'll dive deep into the strategies, insights, and success stories that will inspire and equip you to harness the power of your mind, body, and spirit in order to create the life of your dreams. Together, we are changing the world, one mind at a time.
Welcome back to the Mind Change Podcast. I'm your host, Heather McKean. If you are enjoying this content, please take a moment to like, subscribe, download, and share. It really helps us reach more people so that we can help more people. Today is a really exciting episode. So last week, or whenever you're going to see this, I did an episode on menopause. And while I think the information was really, really good, it lacked a personal experience and a little bit more dialogue. And so I have invited some guests with me today to help flesh this out a little bit more. So welcome, ladies.
Hi.
All right. So I have with me my daughter, Cadence, who is 18. Mackenzie Brewster. Are we cool to say ages?
Oh yeah, that's totally fine.
Like I've always been fine with that, but historically it's been a thing. Like you're not supposed to ask women, but okay. Mackenzie Brewster, you are?
I'm 32 years old.
Great. Mm-hmm. And Angela Hooper?
53.
And I'm 49 at this point. So my thought on this was, I feel like the story of menopause, when we're finally talking about menopause, there's been so many stages that are contributing to how we do what we call menopause. So I thought it would be a really great idea to bring women from different reproductive eras of their life on, and all people who've had quite a lot of exposure to mind change, to maybe talk about this a little bit and talk about how to navigate menopause at any age. So even at 18, what do we do at 18 to begin navigating menopause? Because if you saw the episode before this, it really is more about menopause being, from even a neurobiological level, this like beautiful, amazing time within our brain where we can reconstruct and rebuild. And it is a unique window of neuroplasticity that women get at this age. And yet it is a horror story out there for most people. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking about even just my view on menopause. I view it very differently. I'm like, bring it on. Let's get as neuroplastic as we can. And like, I'm all about the leveling up process. But I was thinking about how many touch points in my life with my cycle, my hormones, what it means reproductively to be a woman, the whole story with that has shaped so much of what I thought. And really it's been mind change work that has changed that. But anyway, I thought I'd bring you guys on and we could talk about it.
Fun.
Yay.
Yay. So let's start with youngest, my daughter Cadence. I feel like you have a really beautiful and admirable relationship with your cycle that I wish I could have had access to when I was your age. And yet I feel like I almost do have access to because I'm witnessing it in you. And it has really helped me like go back and give my younger self this kind of vision of a different relationship with my body and this part of me. So maybe just explain from your own words, and we did not prep this and I have not heard this, so risky. No. What is, in your words, kind of your relationship with your cycle, your reproductive, you know, maybe, I don't know if organs is the right word, but maybe process and where you find yourself in this stage of your life?
Yeah, well, I feel like I more like to work with my cycle instead of against it, because I think it is beautiful and it is kind of stepping into womanhood. And it's something I feel like women in general have, I don't know, criticized it a little bit more than it needs to be, because it is kind of a beautiful thing. I think we have superpowers every now and then, because we work, if you work with your cycle, you can learn that in your different stages, you are better at some things and maybe a little worse at, but I think definitely, it is like a superpower every now and then. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Okay. That's great. What do you mean by that? Like when you talk about, I will tell you, when I was your age and probably up until my 40s, I didn't know anything about the diff. I was like, I have a period. That's it.
I didn't know about that until my mid late 20s. It wasn't until like probably like a year or two before my 30th birthday that I started learning about that, and then started being able to work with my cycle. So to get to know it at a younger stage changes, I think, the experience of growing up in a lot of ways.
Yes. So for you, what does that mean to work with your cycles?
Well, I have a couple of apps that I use to track like what cycle I'm on, and I journaled what I feel through those different cycles. And I feel like superpowers, meaning like in your ovulation phase, you can be more communication skills can up with you, or even in your luteal phase, you can feel more relaxed, or I feel like just certain things are, you get better at, and I've learned just that's a special thing that you can work with instead of against.
Do you find that is the norm in maybe other people in your age group?
I feel like I have surrounded myself around people who do work with it more, but I have, again, been around people that are like, oh, it's just the awful thing. It's just so awful. Yeah. I'm on it again. Oh man. And yeah, so I think definitely I've been around different stages of people who in their life that are either against it or working with it, or just really don't care and don't give anything about it. But I feel like I've wanted to work with it because it's something I'm stuck with. So
right. That is so the attitude I feel like of just so many things around women's health. It's like, I'm stuck with it, right? Like, I'm stuck
might
with
as well
it.
Help.
I'm stuck with, right. But I remember there being a phase when I was younger where I didn't have really strong like PMS symptoms. And it was almost like being shamed by my friends, like, oh, you don't understand, right? Yeah. Like, here's what it really is. And it was almost like a badge of honor as a woman, like this curse thing. And then I started doing the more to fit in with everybody. I didn't know that consciously I was doing that, but subconsciously I did. I found more resources and more reasons, and then it became an issue. But initially it wasn't particularly one for me.
Yeah. How interesting.
So I have a question. So did you have PMS symptoms, and have they changed as you have evolved and as you have gone kind of with your period? Has that changed physically for you, how you feel?
I think so. I feel like I used to have worse cramps than I do now. That's because I feel like I ate different when I was on it, and I ate just kind of how I wanted to instead of working again with it. And so when I'm on it, I really don't get that bad of cramps anymore. And I know a lot of people that don't, that because they help themselves with it and they help do what they can to help that stage of cycle. And I know, like you were saying before, like who has taken the most pain medicine or whatever to, or held themselves in bed while they were cramping so much. And I feel like for me, that I just, that doesn't affect me as much anymore. Mm-hmm. Don't let it affect me as much anymore either. Mm-hmm. So.
Hmm. Well, and having witnessed your entire journey, mm-hmm. it is amazing to me, yeah. the lack of what I grew up thinking were normal PMS, mm. you know, symptoms.
Right. Like it's just inevitable. This is just how it is. Or if somebody doesn't, it's like, oh, well, you're so lucky.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As if there's some, now, mm-hmm. interestingly enough, a lot of people will say it's genetic or it's just the way our family does it. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, I was, if you know my story, this tracks. But I did it like to the nth degree.
Yeah.
Had all sorts of terrible feelings and awful, you know, have to stay home kind of mm-hmm. relationship with my period. Heavy, you know, periods and everything like that, to the point of it being really extreme. Mm-hmm. But I think that was the story in my family, mm-hmm. of it being, I mean, hysterectomies, early hysterectomies are kind of a norm within my family. And yeah, this just like, oh, this torturous thing that you have to endure to be a woman. And so when I did Mind Change, and then specifically when I started doing all the birth work,
uh-huh. yeah,
is when I realized how much our relationship with our body and our reproductive cycles influences our births, mm-hmm. the kinds of births that we have. Mm. And then I was like, oh my goodness. So Cadence doesn't remember this really well, but before she even started her menstrual cycle, I took her and my other daughter and another friend's daughter to a cycle syncing class, to a woman cool. who taught the fact that we do, we have, you know, these cycles and that they each have these different stages. It was for teen girls or preteen mm-hmm. girls. And I was sitting there like transfixed. The interesting thing I will tell you, Cadence came out of that class, again, not having yet had started her period. And she was like, this is amazing. This is so cool. I can't wait to start. And the other two girls in attendance, at least that I had, did not feel that same way. And it's really interesting the way mm. that their cycles have played out since mm. then. Do you remember that class at all?
A little bit. I feel like I really liked it because she mapped it to where we connect to the world. And so, mm. you know, men's cycle is 24 hours. It's like the sun and we're like the moon. So we can, men can wake up every day feeling the same, where we can wake up every day feeling different. And I think that was really cool because, you know, that the tides change with the moon and so should our bodies, and we're connected. And I think that was what got me really interested, is because we are connected to nature just as much as nature is. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. How old were you?
I think 12. No. I think
you were 13 or 14.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, when I started, I was 14.
Okay. Then it was 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we went okay. to that class. Mm-hmm. I will say another thing, and you mentioned this mm-hmm. in our lives at that time, we were in a very strong community of very, now I'm going to say this wellness. Use this in a different way, but body positive women. Mm-hmm. So more women who had really mm-hmm. beautiful relationships with their body, with their cycles, with their health, with being a parent. Mm-hmm. I know that that's something you've commented on before, is a lot of the women in my friend group, Cadence, you've referenced like, wow, I want to be like that kind of a mother someday, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. like, do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And how do you feel like you noticed that that was different than what you may have been seeing otherwise?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's kind of all that you were around.
Yes.
But maybe since you've kind of met other people, obviously you have a lot of access to people on social media and mm-hmm. everything, teenagers and everything. Just what do you feel like that might have been different for you?
Well, I think I was surrounded by women that was a strong community in the sense of like working with our bodies and mm-hmm. instead of working against. And so like leaving that community a little more, I have heard people that complain a little bit more mm-hmm. about their bodies, or, oh, this is awful. My period is here. This is bad. But I think just, you know, being surrounded by them, it definitely helped me have a different mindset about my body. And so that helped definitely shape who I was when I was older.
What did you feel like you witnessed in their being mothers? Because everyone within that, not everyone within that community, but we had, they were mothers and many of them were mothers of multiples. Mm-hmm. And I know that you've mentioned things in the past about the way you felt like those women, their relationship with being a mother.
They were just great. I mean, I feel like they wanted to really, really strive to be in relationship with their kids instead of, you know, just, oh, I have to do what I have to do. They really just loved their kids and wanted to create a sense of belonging for them. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was huge for me too, seeing it was a really different thing.
Yeah. I feel like that's such a difference that I've been appreciative for in having a lot of intergenerational friendships is like when we're talking about things like menopause, I'm like, well, that's not new news to me. I have a lot of close friendships with women who are beginning it or in the middle of it or on the other side of it. And hearing such positive experiences lets me know what's possible. And I feel that way about all these different stages, right? Like I didn't know until I was in my, when did I learn? One of my best friends growing up became a doula. And so that's where I started to learn that you could have like pleasurable births. Births didn't have to be painful. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I found out about your course, right? And I went through it while we were training and just widen the exposure of how much is possible, right? Like how good things can be. But even before that, I was starting to do mind change work with women who had really positive birth experiences or had completely changed their initial birth experiences into ones. And they would be like, no, actually I felt really good. Or like, no, I felt really powerful. And I was like, what? And I'd get to hear a little bit more like intimate detail of what that was like. And I felt like it gave me so many reference points. And then hearing more about what your period can be. And then I'm reminded as we talk about the sense of community, even as we sit here, all four of us, the benefit that we have in having intergenerational friendships where we're just exposed to all these things. So it's not like all of a sudden, what is this? And like these stages, like we're removed from these stages of life when we're kind of separated out. Mm. So that as we know what they're like, there's a different kind of anticipation. It doesn't have to be dread. Mm-hmm. Like it could be positive anticipation for like celebrating and enjoying what each stage is built in for us biologically to be.
Oh, it's so important.
Yeah.
The first birth that I doula'd, mm-hmm. Cadence was actually there.
Were you really? Mm-hmm. Which used to be normal, right? Like that's what my friend who's a doula said. Yeah. Just like we used to like have the women that we knew all around us helping us birth that were so removed from it. And it's like, oh, I have no idea what's happening is a little bit more recent, a little bit more foreign. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And yet back to original design.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it just highlights how different the story can be based on exposure.
Yeah. Sure.
And that it's not too late because she's had very early access to this. And I think luckily, you know, it's would be a weird story for her to hear otherwise. That might be the exception of periods being awful and horrible and terrible, or births being painful, or motherhood being this, you know, beast of burden type of thing. And yet I did grow up that way. Mm-hmm. And I had horrific symptoms and changed them.
Yeah.
To where I, you know, it was a lot of mind change work, but and a lot of healing intergenerationally, especially through the women.
Yeah.
The lineage of the women in my life. But that I went from having completely irregular, horrible, terrible cycles to so predictable, except that no PMS at all. So then I would be like, oh, what the? Oh, there it is. But it's like, if I tracked it, it's almost to the day.
Okay. But when you say that though, do you still experience like rise and fall of different phases of that? Like Cadence was saying, she's like, okay, like I know when I'm in this phase, I lean towards some of these skills. I lean towards I have different needs throughout the point of my cycle.
I will say that's a skill to know. Mm-hmm. Or I think that probably we know it early.
Yeah.
A little bit more intuitively. And I think that's why people Cadence's age, you know, she actually knows quite a few people who have this relationship with their cycle and they understand the phases. I am aware when I bring awareness to it.
oh, but there's not the natural attunement of like, oh, okay, yep, I'm here. And oh, I like these kinds of things more right now. Or, ooh, I'm naturally drawn to these foods. Or, mm-hmm. you know what I recognize is about this time, this is when I get a little bit more sensitive, a little bit more emotional, not because it's this big emotional crash, but like there's this heightened sensitivity and that pulls me in for a little more self-reflection time. And like,
I have that access now.
Okay.
Where I didn't before. It was like, oh my gosh, there's something wrong. There's something wrong.
Sure.
Like at every stage during the month, every month you're going through these cycles of like, even the not feeling emotional or whatever, sometimes you're like, am I shut down? You know, it's like we're sort of taught to question.
Yeah.
Which I think is Cadence's point of we're working with the body.
Yeah.
Right. It is just, that's how we're meant to exist with our body in general. So it isn't just cycling with your menstrual cycle.
Right.
It's so many other things. But yes, now there is an awareness of the way that I eat sometimes. Also, I think the place that this plays most for me is the way I exercise.
Oh, okay.
So right before my menstrual cycle, during my menstrual cycle, I take it more easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not like in the gym lifting as much or pushing as much weight or trying to get my next like PR, you know, I'm a lot more chill with myself. I will skip the gym or I'll move to like walking or more of a stretching yoga type of activity. So that's one of the things that I've been very attuned to, probably because still rest and finding space and time for rest is not my forte. It's not my biggest strength just yet. Mm-hmm. So my body's
calling you into it.
Calling me into it.
I remember when I was a few years ago, my younger brother, actually, he must have been only like 23, 24 at the time. And we were having a conversation and he was sharing how just the difference of his experience as a man versus mine as a woman. And he was like, you know, sometimes I just notice how women, you have something every month that in a sense demands that you tune into your body. It can be so easy to desensitize culturally. Like we're just called out of it and just to go on autopilot. He's like, but every month you have something that at least like pulls you in. He's like, and I almost envy that. Like that it brings you this heightened awareness where you must connect. I was like, that's really wise, young man.
Yes.
I'm going to pocket that one.
That was super deep.
I know.
It's kind of deep, though. What a great, very also deep. Pointing to the way men get trained around this. Of like, all right, it's at that time of the month again, or like, you're going to go crazy, or, you know.
And then we adopt that attitude.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
so it's expected of us.
Yes. And so it's this cultural.
Checking the calendar. Always. Can I give a solid reason why I'm crazy right now?
Yeah. Which is like, it's a bit of a sad story. Mm-hmm. And which is exactly why we're doing this podcast, is that stories can change.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding how culturally influenced we are is a huge piece of it. So Angela, that's what about huge. You? What do you feel like your early relationship was with?
You know, I'm really fortunate. I feel like in the sense, I didn't have a lot of really strong PMS symptoms. My mom didn't either.
Mm.
And so I didn't hear a lot of, I mean, from friends, obviously, people around me, I heard a lot of, you know, about horror stories or whatever about periods, but my mom didn't. That wasn't her experience. And so that wasn't my experience either. And so a little bit later on in life when I had kids, and I think, you know, obviously there are a lot of stressful and different things going on, responsibility and, you know, all kinds of things that I think probably contributed. But even then, it was not every month that it was just really excruciating. There's one very vivid time I have three girls and it was just two at the time and I had them at Walmart and I was doubled over in pain. And the only reason I say that is because it was unusual. I can't remember. My memory's not that great right now. I cannot remember what was happening at the time, but I'm sure more than likely it was something stressful and that's just the way it was showing up. My body was trying to speak to me, but I had no idea. Just again, I thought this is normal. This is what everybody else goes through in my mind. So, okay, well, my body's just changing and okay, now I'm going to have to deal with this. I had a few episodes like that, but nothing even that extreme. Like Dave had to come and drive me home. I couldn't drive the car. I was so doubled over in pain. But again, I look back now and I go, oh, my body was just trying to communicate something. But I had no idea at the time. Mm. And so, you know, for the most part, my cycle has not been, you know, anything super demanding or really crazy. I didn't feel necessarily super emotional. In any case, but now I'm in menopause. So, and you know, surrounded by friends who are in perimenopause or menopause. And I mean, talk about, you know, just the culture and we were influenced. I mean, everybody gripes and complains and is, you know, trying, and I get it. I have griped and complained. I am not, you know, I've been there. And I've looked at different solutions, you know, whether it's, you know, taking different hormones or whatever. I'm not doing any of that. But when you talk to people, there are all kinds of different, you know, solutions, as you talked about in your podcast, that people do to try to figure out, okay, how do I make this go away? Instead of really, okay, what, sitting back and going, okay, what is my body telling me?
Yeah.
What is it trying to communicate? And really, like you guys have shared, really going with it and really being attuned to it. And my body's not against me. It's for me. It doesn't feel that way necessarily. But it is. So what is it trying to communicate? And I talked to you about it. I don't remember how many weeks ago it was now, a month or two ago. And my hot flashes were really bad, especially at night. The night sweats were really bad. I was like, Heather, what do I do? And since, you know, obviously practicing mind change and understanding my body's trying to communicate something, I'm like, what? I try different things. And I thought, well, maybe this is it. Maybe this is it. And then I talked to you and you're like, I think maybe some pent up anger that you might be feeling, some unexpressed anger. I was like, I don't think so. I went to my closet and I found the unexpressed anger in dealing with, you know, in my profession, I deal with people and have been doing that for the last 33 years. And so, you know, people are people and people are messy. And I think there are things that, you know, in trying to help other people, not expressing then how it was affecting me in a good way. So I went into my closet and expressed it very well and felt much better. Actually, I think I did it twice and my hot flashes definitely, all I can think of is receded. I don't know. And they got less and less and less. It took time because I think that's the other thing. We want things to be automatic and I've done this. And so this is the result. And I had to go, no, I just need to keep listening. And if there's anything else my body's trying to tell me, I need to be open to that. And so over the last 2 months, it's gotten less and less and less. And I hardly have them at all now. And that really has been, that's as far as menopause is concerned, those have been the hot flashes and the night sweats have been the biggest indications that something was going on. My body was changing. My emotions haven't fluctuated a ton that I'm aware of. Ask people in my household, maybe they'll.
You're pretty even.
I don't know. Mackenzie lives with me right now, so I don't know. Yeah. But I was super grateful. But I had no idea that stuff was in there. I didn't know that there was this anger boiling under the surface. I don't walk around feeling like I'm an angry person, but it was under there and it wasn't, you know, I wasn't paying attention to it. My body was like, hey, hey, hey. And I love how you talked about in the podcast, really, again, listening to our body. This is a time where a lot of us are slowing down a little bit in our lives. Maybe we're still busy, but in general, we're kind of slowing down and we have a little bit more time. We're more attuned to our bodies than we were as we were running around when we were younger and go, 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 go and do, 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 do. And now we're kind of going, okay, I don't need to go, go, go. And I don't need to do, do, do. And so it's time to really stop and listen. And so that has been really eye-opening and really helpful to think about it in that way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I think it speaks to the bigger problem. Why are we having these conversations around menopause as a problem when these were not the conversations that were happening 50 years ago? Mm-hmm. Like you did not hear these kind of conversations really 50 years ago. It wasn't the story. Mm-hmm. Same with girls having complicated periods. And so that's always my question is, how did we get here? If it's changed significantly, there's information, there's feedback, there's things that we can be looking at, but that isn't the approach that we've taken. Right. And Cadence and I were just talking about this the other day. Mm-hmm. She asked me such a fantastic question and I realized it is just part of our story and our narrative. She said something around the fact that a lot of young women take birth control pills.
Oh, yeah.
And not necessarily for birth control. They may not even be sexually active. And she's like, So what does that do with your cycles?
Yeah.
I was like, actually, other than really, really, really mess them up, I don't know what the science is behind that. Like, what do they say? Mm. And what did you find out?
Well, I found out that it's basically, when you take it, it mimics your cycles. Like, it's not, you're not even in any of your cycles. Like, it completely kind of erases them and mimics them so that your body kind of can function, because you can't function without it very well. But yeah, it was just kind of, it does mess it up because it's not normal. It definitely doesn't let your body, you know, normally go through the cycles it would. And so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a synthetic.
It's a synthetic, yeah.
Well, because isn't it simulating what happens like post-pregnancy where your period is like paused for a while, essentially?
Yes, luteal, kind of. Okay. Before, well.
But it is,
again, I'm not as educated on this, so I don't want to speak out of turn.
Synthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to a bigger problem, mm-hmm. which is it's us separating ourselves mm-hmm. from our body. It's mm-hmm. getting it to stop talking, mm-hmm. shut up, get in line,
yeah.
do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what our women's bodies are ticked off about in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's what it is rebelling against.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that we needed some sort of synthetic hormone. I think our bodies are rejecting so much of this story about sit still and look pretty. And not to turn this into some sort of feminist movement kind of, that's not really what I'm talking about. Right. It's the disconnection from one's body. Mm-hmm. And that is starting. We are anesthetizing women so, so, so early. Mm-hmm. 11, 12 years old. And these little girls are put on birth control pills. Mm-hmm. And in it, it's separating us from the natural cycles that our bodies are supposed to be going through. Mm-hmm. And what a great example of disconnection from oneself, yeah. from the fact that we are like the moon, that we are connected to each other, to earth, and like we're purposed. Mm-hmm. And we, like your brother had yeah. insight into, like we are called in through stages almost monthly or mm-hmm. every month, really, through these stages of check in, go deeper, yeah. or come out a little bit right now, mm-hmm. you know, go do something else, go, right. you know, climb a mountain or, yeah. you know, swing through the trees right now and don't pay so much attention because you need that stage of it. Mm-hmm. Our bodies can teach us so early, and yet we're being sold the story of it is normal to be on birth control at a very young age, mm-hmm. which I will say I did as well. Mm-hmm. I was put on birth control very early, I think around 13 or 14, but it was because I was on another medication.
Yep.
That to be given this medication, you had to be on birth control.
Mm-hmm. So that says something about the other medication. If they really don't want you to have a kid while you're on it.
That does say something, and it was never questioned. Mm-hmm. It was just medication on top of medication on top of medication. And so again, just separating me from my body. Now, I'm not going to come at the medical system. I do come at the medical system. So, but maybe that particular doctor, or even my mom at the time, because you don't know any better.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's for little girls and young women whose cycles are painful or symptomatic, extremely symptomatic. Nobody says like, hey, maybe you should deal with the
generational trauma
in your family line.
Or and how all of these like systems of society aren't really catered to like what your needs might be, particularly yeah. as a woman. Yes. Yeah.
And maybe you're a cycle breaker. Get that cycle mm-hmm. breaker. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
That is coming in and you and your young little body is feeling, you know, yeah. 10 generations of pain, of yeah. the female fight and the pain of that. Mm-hmm. I know. And even if we were to tell somebody that, like, I'm sorry, my insurance doesn't cover generational trauma healing, you know, like we got to do what we got to do. So I understand it isn't from a nefarious or even, you know,
ill-intentioned.
Yeah.
No. We really believe in the best that we're all trying to offer each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's more uninformed.
Mm-hmm. It is. And yet it's old knowledge. Like some people, oh, this is all new age, hippy dippy, you know, natural healing. This is old stories. Mm-hmm. This is from the beginning of time, the way that a woman's body operates. Mm-hmm. And if you read historically, I remember reading the book, The Red Tent.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys read that?
Long time ago.
And I don't think this was the point of the story, but something that really stood out for me was the fact that during a woman's menstrual cycle, they were brought out of the village into these special places. Mm-hmm. And in these special, now there's a whole other story out there about them being unclean or whatever, and you're going to religiousize it and all that jazz, which no, that's not my point. My point is they were brought into these tents and they were pampered. Mm-hmm. They were taken care of. They were ministered to by other women. Mm-hmm. And so they were massaged. They were soaked. They were all of these things while freely flowing and not trying to stop anything, but slowing their bodies down monthly.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, that speaks to intelligent design that is really for women.
Yes.
And not against, and that not being something that is supposed to haunt us or, you know, that we're supposed to like suffer through until our 50s and then you suffer more. Like it's a story of suffering. Yeah. And
well, like biologically, that just doesn't make sense. You know,
it really doesn't.
Like that's not a really, that would seem like a bug in the system if we're going that way.
Mm. Absolutely.
Not, but I'm like, but this is a feature. So how do we use this feature, like you've been saying, Cadence? Yeah.
Well, okay. So how does it? Well, when you first menstruate is when your body starts to develop, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're sort of this beacon for reproduction and vibrance and health and beauty and all of these different things. Your body starts to do that. You're like in your femininity to its like heightened degree in that stage. We can still be deeply in our femininity and beauty and power and stuff like that, even deep at every stage, really. But it's, yeah, that being painful, awful, terrible monthly doesn't make sense. Because how then should we feel compelled to bring other people into this world if we're miserable every month, if we're in pain every month, if we're struggling every month? That to me doesn't, that isn't a procreative thought process. Mm-hmm. And then if, you know, a lot of times women's cycle stories, if they cycle painfully, a lot of them have painful sexual experiences or dysfunctional sexual experiences that then also doesn't call us into this higher relationship with any stage of our cycle of our being, even if. So reproductive function isn't simply to have children. It's it is moving a woman's body through all of the stages of fullness at every age. It isn't simply to create children. Although if that's a woman's trajectory, it shouldn't be awful and horrible and terrible. Mm-hmm. That a woman's mind isn't let me bring children into war-torn circumstances.
Right.
Like, this is awful. Let me bring another being into this.
Right.
So yeah, it kind of sets us up against us being evolutionary and reproductive beings in general.
Well, I didn't know that I could have a period that actively felt good until after I was going through your birth course. Mm-hmm. And I think I reached out to you at one point because not long afterwards, I was like, wow, I feel really good today, like extra good. It's almost as if I have like you know, people do like hot water bottle, like pad things, you know, yes, like, and like a lot of the things that people do when they're on their period to like try to comfort themselves. It was as if I was having all of that just naturally. I was like, wow, I feel like extra cozy and I know exactly what I want to eat. And it's very simple. And I just like I'm sitting here and I feel so meditative and I'm like, wow, I feel like extra good. Mm-hmm. It's as if I've like taken something almost and it's just like flowing through me. And my cycle had started and I was right. And I was like, oh, wait, what? I wasn't planning for that. I wasn't trying for that. I had started learning more about the different phases of my cycle, understanding it. And I'd done a lot of work around how I felt about a woman. I'd worked like about being a woman. I dealt with pieces of religious ideology that had colored that. I dealt with some generational things. I dealt with my own sense, but like so much stuff at that point I'd already worked through using Mind Change. Mm-hmm. And then I'd gone through your birth course just to learn. And because I had people who wanted me to do some like light birth work with them, I was like, sure. So I was going through that just to learn. And it was really great. And I think actually I was with you while you were putting it all together and writing it. I remember, yeah, where you were filming it too. And so then I went through the finished thing and did some of the pieces just as if. And I'm like, great, I'll set myself up for when I'm having children one day. And the natural side effect that I was not aiming for, did not intend, did not expect, was that my cycles changed where then they started to feel actively good. And I was like, this is weird. I was like, there have to be other people who are doing this. But I reached out to you to talk about it. I was like, but okay, this makes sense to me. If you can have a pleasurable birth, then you can have a pleasurable period. Why not? And so that was really cool. I didn't know that it was possible. So then I just started talking with more friends, being like, did you know we could do this? Like, had someone told me, my mind might have been able to like open up to it more sooner, but it was really incredible. And then from that point, now there are times where I will get symptomology. I will care, but it's always when there's something going on. Mm-hmm. There's some communication. There's some like, sure. There came a point where I think, I don't know how much later, maybe around the same time, like within a similar time frame, actually, I had a really painful cycle. Like I woke up in the middle of the night. I ended up laying on the floor. I was hunched over and I don't go to that. That's a rare occasion. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? I was trying to like pattern interrupt it. I'm like, go away. This is so painful. Couldn't. And I was like, okay, what? And I got really quiet. And so I went into it and I was like, what's going on here? What do I need to know? And it was for me at that point, I hadn't known in my life if I wanted to have children or not. I'd be like back and forth about it. I had a lot of beliefs about what that would be and what that would mean for me. And I'd done a lot of work. And so at that point, it quieted down and I realized, oh, I do want to have children. This is me letting me know, like, hey, I want you to know. And not right now. This isn't the time. But like, there is a desire here. And as soon as I got that, everything quieted. Mm. Like the symptomology. I needed a little extra rest the next day because it was a really like big emotional release, like a big emotional connection, big emotional release. I was like, okay. And the timing of it was perfect because I think, I don't know, like a month later, I started seeing someone and we're, you know, getting to the point where like, okay, like, do we want to do this? Do we not? And he let me know. He's like, hey, I know with certainty I don't want to have children. And I was like, well, funnily enough, I know that I do. So that makes things really easy and clear. And I was so grateful. It was like the timing, the wisdom of everything came. Like I knew how good it could be. I then had the like big message and it prepared me so that like I was able to plan my life in a way that felt really empowering. So
like, oh my goodness, what if our bodies are wise? right? Because if you think about that, yeah, like PMS. Mm-hmm. You're about to go into the menstrual part of your cycle, which is the one you're supposed to rest, tune in, take a break. Wouldn't that be the natural time to say, hey, so for the next week, you're supposed to slow down and take a rest and chill out. Why don't you be dealing with this?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like that to me makes so much sense now. Yeah. Now right? That I understand the body, rather than it being something's wrong, you know. Periods are terrible. It's awful. It's supposed to be painful. Like that, all the story that gets brought in. What if it's messaging? Mm-hmm. And what if this is just another beautiful way? And like was mentioned, uniquely for women, a special way of calling us in and calling us into attention and giving us monthly opportunities.
Yeah.
Of, hey, so how's your month been? Mm-hmm. What have you been carrying? What are you about to carry into this you know, like the shedding stage and then resetting up stage. What might you need to shed this week?
And that's what I love with what we were talking about with menopause. Like it doesn't have to wait all and be this big thing. It's like, oh, now that I know more about that, what it is and the phase of life that I can anticipate that that's at extra neuroplastic time. It's like I have built in seasonally ways of doing that in smaller as I need. Bit by bit by bit, so that by the time I get there, I can have a different kind of experience. It can be like this supercharged experience, like this ushering in instead of something to dread, mm-hmm. you know, like it doesn't have to build up to then. I can have even some of the benefits of it now.
Yes.
That's how I think about it.
Well, a lot of women have reached out and said, hey, can we talk about menopause? Can we talk about menopause? Mm-hmm. And a part of me was like, yes, let's talk about this. But I felt like, but I'm not in it yet. I'm not doing that yet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm on my way. But I can tell you what makes me super passionate is I already made up my mind. I'm not doing the standard menopause story that's out there. I'm just not going to do that because mm-hmm. that does not sound nice. I had my, I think I'm crazy. My body's against me.
Yeah.
You know, I had my dance with that early mm-hmm. on. And I'm like, why do that at this age?
Right.
I don't know. For me, this age and what I'm moving into feels, it does legitimately feel more powerful because it's less of like, I don't care what you think about me, mm-hmm. you know, like I care, but it's so much of the judgments and the pressures feel to me uneducated. Mm-hmm. They feel a little immature mm-hmm. and not from a judgmental point of view, but like, oh, I was there too. I remember thinking that at that, sure. at that stage and at that age. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like, no, I'm doing the witchy wise woman thing. Like I'm going medicine woman all the way, you know, like give me the long gray braids and the, you know, flowy things in a tent somewhere. I'm like, let's do it. Bring it on.
Well,
go for it.
Angela, I've been curious. I've been thinking about this with you because I know mm-hmm. that you're in the process mm-hmm. of menopause, but also that you've been on a break lately. Like you've been taking like a personal sabbatical mm-hmm. and spending more time in nature and traveling and just being home and like letting like a real period of rest. And mm-hmm. I've been really curious what that's been like as you've intentionally taken that time as you're going through menopause, like some of the things that have come up for you that you've been able to connect with that have almost like you've revealed to yourself on a deeper level.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, well, just symptomatically, I would say we did 3 weeks in the national parks and did lots of hiking and we camped for the first few days and, you know, and I was still doing some hot flashes at night. And so, you know, I'm in my, what do you call it, sleeping bag, and I'm taking my sleeping bag off, and I'm in my sleeping bag. But as time went on, as we, you know, as I was more and more relaxed, I feel like not only in my body, but in my mind, all those, the symptoms went away, and I was sleeping better. I know for a lot of people too, for some people, their, you know, their symptoms or whatever is not being able to sleep. And I've had some of that, but I'm able to sleep much better. And just having the time to think without all the distractions and all the noise and all the responsibilities and really just spending time in nature, being on hikes and having nothing to do or really think about, but just to be able to walk and really think about who I am and who I am at this stage in my life and who do I want to be. I chat GPT that a little bit. We've used that. This group knows we've used ChatGPT a little bit, but I kind of put in, okay, I'm a 53-year-old woman and I've got X amount of years left, you know, in working and I've got grandchildren and a husband and, you know, what questions should I be asking myself? You know, but they were really great questions to contemplate. They were really just to think about me and who do I want to be? And like you said, Heather, there's a lot more of me that like is like, I don't really care what you think, you know, and more of coming into my own identity of who I am as a woman, as now a grandmother and, you know, in every area of my life, who am I and who do I want to be? Because I can continue. It's like life is over at 53, you know, but who I want to continue to be become. And I feel like I'm just coming into who I am at this age. And so I'm so grateful for the time that really menopause has caused in a sense for me to slow down. I mean that in a good way. And then obviously for our sabbatical, just to be able to take that time where I feel like my mind has been more at peace. And I, unfortunately we live in a society that is just so noisy, mm-hmm. whether it's we're on our phones and we're looking at something or thinking of something or the music's on, or that was the thing I noticed too, when we were hiking for 3 weeks, we're not turning on the radio. We're in the car, we're driving through Yellowstone. Who wants music on when you're just looking at nature and how incredible everything was. And I remember we were a few days into it and Dave turned on the radio for a minute and there was one song we were listening. And then I was like, turn the music off. Turn the music off. And it wasn't because I didn't like the song. I wanted to go back to quiet, to peace and quiet and being able to hear myself think. Whereas I feel like life, you know, in the flow of life, it can get so busy. And we're so, as you said, even with menopause, we're so concerned about how can I stop and get rid of this? And so our minds are consumed with that instead of, again, slowing down and going, okay, but what do I need to hear? What do I need to listen to? If that makes any sense. So I feel the time off, a sabbatical in a sense, is just been time to be quiet in my mind and in my, and not necessarily my body. We didn't like, I was really proud of myself though. We did like 40 miles of hiking in like 8 days.
Okay.
Wow.
That's
insane.
Awesome.
And there were times when I thought, I cannot do this. You know? But I'm going anyway because Dave's not going to, you know, leave me behind. So I got to keep going. But even just that, knowing, oh, I can do this. That there was kind of, I had this big revelation as we were hiking and stuff. I thought, okay, there are some things that I don't think I can do. I just need a little shove, a little bit of encouragement, and I can do it. Like I can do these 13-mile hikes that I never thought I could do before. And then there are other things, like we went on a rafting trip and we stopped and Dave got out to jump off the cliff. Some people were jumping off the cliffs.
And Dave was your husband.
I guess. And Dave was my husband. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to. I was like, I'm comfortable here on the raft. if I get in the water, I'm going to be cold the rest of the trip. I don't want to. And Dave kept coaxing, come on, come on, come on. You're missing all the fun. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
There you go.
Right here.
There you go.
And it was another thing where I thought, because I think in the past I would have done it just to appease him, or I would have dug my feet in and been, and then mad at him the rest of the time. Just trying to get him to do something I didn't want to do. I'm like, no, I just don't want to. And that's okay. Mm. And I love coming into that space where I feel like, okay, there are things that I can do that I just don't want to. And that's okay. Mm. And it was funny. I explained this to him and he just kind of looked at me like, okay. I was like, it's okay if it's not a revelation to you. It's a revelation to me. So yeah, I just feel like that time has been super, in general, been a great, the sabbatical taking this time has helped me kind of navigate the different things of menopause in an even better way. If that makes sense. I don't know.
It does. Yeah.
So I can just hear members of our audience and be like, how nice for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I know. That's part of my heart too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And obviously not everybody's going to be able to do that.
Right. No.
So what do we say to the person out there who might be moving into, or like in the midst of, I have lost my mind, I have gained weight, I can't sleep, I sweat, I, you know, all of these various things.
And I still have to run everything on my family.
Right. Yeah.
Of course. Which is, I'm going to enter back into that in about a month.
Yes.
You know? Are you? Or. No.
Like the busyness of taking care of family and going back to work and all that kind of stuff. No, the rest of it, no, I do not have to enter into.
Right.
I mean, and I have thought about that. I thought, okay, when I come out of this, what is going to be different? And I think, it is, there is so much noise. I think just shutting off the social media in the sense, not completely, but I don't have to have noise all the time, music all the time, just spending time in solitude and silence in a sense, getting up early enough to be able to take a walk in the quiet. Mm. Just those, they don't have to be these 2 hour long walks. They can be 30 minutes, 45 minutes, but just time, just downtime, right? I think it's a really simple thing, but I think just little things like that are super important. And then, you know, we can talk about more about just sitting down and really thinking, okay, what is, as you were talking about, what is my body trying to say? What's mm-hmm. there? What, and you talked a lot in the podcast of there are different, what would you call, themes or things that our bodies are trying to bring up for us to look at. And you've mentioned one, which is, I don't really care what you think, right? Coming into our own and being not really worried about other people's judgment. There's the identity, who am I, without being, having children, for me, not without having children at home. Who am I as I transition to my job? Who am I? And those there. So identity, that's a good question. There were other things you can talk about, the rest of them that you talked about. There were lots of different themes, but I think just giving, that was really helpful for me to go, okay, what other of these areas do I need to, can I explore? To figure out maybe there are other things that I haven't thought about. So I would offer that.
Well, I think, it's interesting because we're seeing more and more women going into perimenopause and menopause early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very big thing out there. I mean, I've met women, I just worked with someone a couple weeks ago who's identifies as actively in a menopausal state, who's in her 30s. Oh. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, like, if we were changing the script and the narrative about what is it that my body's trying to say.
Yeah.
So what I think we've done is taken a collection of symptoms and then called those symptoms something. Okay, we're going to call this menopause, and we're going to say this is what you have to expect. Mm-hmm. And then, kind of like you were talking about, then when everyone else is doing it that way, you sort of feel weird if you don't do it that way. And yet, forgetting that what's been done is identifying this collection of symptoms happening at this, around this age of women, and then looking to pathologize it rather than going,
like, hysteria.
Yes. Rather than going, like, wait, so why might you be angry? Like,
yeah.
Why might you be staying up at night where you maybe weren't doing it before? Like, what's going on in your mind? Why is your conscious mind breaking through in the middle of the night? And your mood fluctuations and all of the various things that they're calling hormonal problems, instead of maybe it is just built up, and then now it's asking you to deal with it finally.
Right. And that gets to, it's really interesting working with so many different people. They're like, oh, well, it might just, yeah, I'm dealing with this, but also it could probably just be a hormonal problem. And I'm like, what do you think hormones are?
Yeah,
it's just like it gets lumped in, like, oh, it's probably just a hormone problem.
It's probably just hormones.
Oh, yeah. And then I'm like, what's your body saying? Hormones are everything, all kinds of stuff. It's just some sort of random imbalance. No, like, what's going on that you would be producing hormones out of sync?
Right. But we're taught from a very young age that your hormones are something to be micromanaged, controlled.
They happen to you.
Yeah. They're happening to you.
And ignore.
Ignore them, push them away, get them under control. Mm-hmm. Get those pesky things under control.
It doesn't sound like how women have been treated in parts of history at all.
Huh? No, not at all. Like, it's mimicking the outside of us. And again, this isn't everybody's story. So that's where it gets really interesting.
Right.
So you meet women who are like, oh, I think I must have skipped menopause. Like, I've literally heard women say that. Oh, I must have skipped menopause. Mm-hmm. As if your body didn't do its natural. No, you just didn't track with the symptoms.
Yeah.
And therefore think you skipped out on a part of your body doing what it was supposed to be doing because you didn't get all symptomatic. And I think we need to just call this out because women can be very mean to other women when we don't suffer like you suffer.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Mm-hmm. It's competing.
It's competing in suffering. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let's just all take a deep breath and not get all triggery. I saw this speak so loudly when I started doing the birth work.
Yeah.
Because I had a number of clients have really beautiful, empowered births. Maybe they even called them pain-free or various versions of that, and happened to have a presence online or even just some online community. And the amount of hate and shame that was piled on them for sharing their really beautiful birth stories.
Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
It's so sad. It was like, how dare you share it like this when there's so many women out there that have had traumatic births? You're making them feel bad for having a traumatic birth. Mm. It's like, oh, wow, we've bought into the story and without even realizing it. Mm-hmm. You think that you're fighting the story. Nope, you're reinforcing it because now you're shaming women for having empowered, intentional, good, healthy, happy experiences.
Right.
Because you didn't, or someone you know didn't, and we're supposed to honor that above the opposite. And I'm even seeing it with menopause stories. Mm-hmm. And once you start to be aware of it, like Cadence was talking about, or I think it was you that had mentioned that, Mackenzie, that you get almost shamed for not having something negative happen. So if you had a good menopause experience, you felt really empowered, and then there's actually something wrong with you.
Well, I think there part of it is that women, my experience with some of my friends, is that it's such a, things like this are so vulnerable internally that there, that hits on a little bit of the, was there something wrong with me? Like, oh, I had pain, that you're implying that it could have been different. Does that somehow mean that there's like, something's my fault? There's something wrong with me. And that is so shaming. It's like, ah, no, let me shame you.
See, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
The narrative is the problem.
Right.
The is there something wrong with me? Are you saying there's something wrong with me? Should I be ashamed? That's the problem, is the fact that we go there.
As opposed to, wait, what, how? I'm curious. That, okay, does that mean it's possible for me too? What happened? With compassion for myself, and now it's actually a resource of an opening, of an opportunity for what I can have too. And even if, we know this through Mind Change Work, even if I'm done with my reproductive years and I didn't have the kinds of births that I wanted to have, there's memory work that we can do where we don't have to hold on to the pain anymore. We can keep the beautiful parts, the wisdom, the things that were there, and give ourselves the knowing and the experience as if we did, and carry that forward and let that be part of the legacy, and then offer that to one another. Instead of having to share our pain stories, we can help broaden what's possible in, oh my gosh, I suddenly forgot the word. In healing, in power, in feeling good, in,
Well, and I think the more women we have navigate menopause with power, the more we reinstate the wise woman, the crone, the that archetype, the more they will speak power and life and beauty into younger generations of be like, that thing that happens to you every month is a gift.
Yeah.
It's like magic, and can teach the magic of each one of these stages. You know, the magic of child birth and rearing, and, you know, the stages of youth, and, you know, all of those different things speak different stories into our various stages. We really need each other. And I have learned so much from watching my daughter navigate her journey differently. So much. And it's so, I think it's being reminded that the story we know might not be the only story. And so, and we get to choose. So yes, maybe you grew up with the, everything is wonderful and I'm so empowered and I'm a magical creation and creature and have, you know, all of these things. That's your norm. Well, it's helpful to understand that other people have out there have a different story.
Right.
Because then you won't think it's so weird. You'll just be like, oh, they're reading out of that storybook rather than the one I'm reading out of. And I don't need to now take your story and make it my story if I don't want to. Or I can. I can. And vice versa.
Right.
If you're in grim fairy tales and that's what you've been taught and that's what you've been modeled and your body's in pain and your mind's in pain and, you know, and you see someone else, hear someone else, that has such a different story, for me to be like, how do I, can I borrow, read, library loan, your book? Can you speak? How did you get this story? How did you do this? Because I would like some of your next chapters, or I would like to really change my chapters. And understanding that's out there, and without the shame around it and blame.
And isn't that much more encouraging? And brings so much more joy than the blame and the shame and the, I can't believe you. That it's not helping. That doesn't help the person who they're communicating that to. It doesn't help them either. It doesn't help us when we're doing that. But if we can borrow from one another, I mean, I'm inspired listening to Cadence and thinking at such a young age, her understanding this, and what a gift. That's so amazing. That to me is so much more empowering than, well, good for you. I'm not that way. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so much more encouraging and empowering to be able to borrow from one another's stories and learn from one another.
I think we're meant to be in community and collaboration with each other. And then we have more compassion. And then I think, oh, you were going to say something.
Well, no, I'm just like, a lot of us will then somehow figure out a way to judge Cadence and her situation and, oh, but you're in this particular social class or this particular mm-hmm. something and be like, that's why you have that story. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is, she shouldn't have that story based on what my story was, but I changed my story.
Yeah.
Because I asked her in the last couple of days, I was like, because these are just the questions you don't think to ask, right? Mm-hmm. I said, how did you view me having the way I felt about my period, about my cycles? And she was like, I actually don't remember you ever talking about it. Mm. And I'm thinking, yes, but that was not when she was really little. And before that, oh, I had that really awful relationship with how terrible, how painful. Oh my gosh, that time of the month. And I had a very victim story with my cycle. Mm-hmm. But at a very young age for her is when I got well and when I started working with Mind Change. And I started thinking differently about my body.
Yeah.
So I started speaking differently about my body, which opened my eyes to different communities, different friend groups, different experiences of like looking for a cycle syncing class, which I didn't really even know existed.
Like I didn't until today.
Having that come into my awareness.
There's some really great resources out there.
It's so fun. It's so cool. I know so Cadence is always showing me it is a narrative out there. Mm-hmm. It's a story that isn't new, that isn't some social media craze. It's out there and it's been out there. And oftentimes we are only able to see it if we're vibrating at a frequency that's open to it. Mm-hmm. So it's not that it's not out there. It's our reticular activating system. If we're looking for pain, we're looking for push it away, for, you know, disconnection, stop the symptom. We're going to find all the stories in alignment with that. If we're looking for, wait, what if my body's good for me, magical, powerful, you're going to find stories to match with that. Mm-hmm. And I think as women, pick a movement, pick your feminist or pick your conservative or pick your trade wife or, you know, whatever we're talking about. Women should support women. We should encourage women. We should love and bring in and share in a way that builds us up as women, as humans, as daughters, mothers, sisters, you know, all the different things that we are. And I think this helps. I don't see how this would take away. And so anyway, just for all those people out there who shame people for having good experiences.
And they have really good reason for why they do what they do.
They do.
So it's like, I don't want to shame shamers, right? It's like, I have a lot of compassion. I also used to do it. There are ways in which I'm sure I still do. But I think that when we understand that, and often people doing that, one, it's just a story that they have. But two, there's a lot often the buildup, right? Like people come in where they're having a lot around their cycle. Like you said, sometimes they're cycle breakers, but a lot can change when we feel safe enough and supported enough within ourselves to be able to open that possibility.
Mm-hmm. Just consider the narrative. We are all a conglomeration of the stories we've been told of our environment. That read the book, we are inevitably shaped by our environment. None of us get out from that, away from that. So if we have this really strong story and it doesn't actually seem to be serving us in our body, if you're out there a warrior for against women having good experiences, birth experiences, sex experiences, child rearing experiences, and you're like, no, I need to be the voice for the people who suffer out there. Understand that is a narrative. That's a choice. And like you said, people have very, very, very good reasons for that. Mm-hmm. So rather than shaming that, we all get to ask ourselves, is this the story I want to keep telling? Would I be 100% okay if my daughter picked up this same story and fought this same battle?
That's a great question.
And is this contributing to the overall empowerment, wellness, and future wellness of women as a whole? And if you feel like that is, then march on. If you feel like maybe long term, this narrative isn't going to play out nicely for me, consider there might be another story out there. And that's really all we do with Mind Change, is try to say, like, there might be another story. We have different stories. And so there may be different stories to tell out there. And if this doesn't resonate, then there are plenty of other channels saying other stories.
Right.
So go follow them and make comments. And that's great. Isn't that wonderful how many choices we all have out there to be whoever we want to be? And I think it's important that all of us up here are representative of, we could do it different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even if we started doing it one way. Look, I made a lot of changes and did a lot of work, and I'm on a really different trajectory now.
Yeah.
I think overall, that's what I want to tell women out there, is we have way more choice than we think. Mm-hmm. And this is where it all happens. Because you can stay in, you can be in these environments. Each of us was raised in really different environments and have really different experiences, and yet are being informed by where we want to go.
Yeah, right.
Rather than where we come from. Every person out there has that, because that occurs in the mind. I mean, I love Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. That's why that book resonates for so many people, is that yes, your environment shapes you, but it doesn't have to define you. It doesn't have to, it's the one thing nobody can take from you is what it means to you. And that changes, that gives us all hope, I think. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm really excited for? In about 10 years from now, when you guys are in your like full crone phase,
yeah.
And the wisdom that will be there when you're even more like, and you're in that stage of it all. I'm excited for that to come.
Yeah. I already channel her fairly frequently.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's there. She's alive and well with her long gray braids. So, yeah. So anything, just last little bits of just what you may have picked up even talking on the podcast, what you feel like, hey, someone out there who's my age or close to my age, who might be watching, that if I could leave them with one thing. Mm-hmm. So we've got menopausal, perimenopausal, like what would we call your stage?
Oh, that is, yeah. I'm in my reproductive years, but I haven't started reproducing.
Yeah.
So,
or have you not?
Well, in other ways I have, and that's the choice that I've made for now.
Right.
And that has taken greater priority for me. There's a way that I want to do motherhood, and I know that. And so I've been really intentional about how I've set myself up and my life up to do it the way that I'm a bit of a maximalist. And yeah, I have produced in different ways. It's just been a different kind of path that I've chosen.
And there are plenty of women out there who choose never to have children.
Yes.
For very good reasons.
Yes.
And during this stage of life, they are birthing identities, careers, beautiful things out there. They're still birthing.
They are. We are.
And it's still coming from the stage of life that you're in, and can be so supported by where your body is right now and what's happening hormonally for us. I mean, that's such a great stage to be in.
Yeah.
And then you've got Cadence in her early years. She's just in her fledgling relationship with her reproductive cycle. And yet, like, she's about to go to college. So, yeah, everything. We're in various stages. The only person that we don't have is our, like, long-held crone. But because we can't fit that many. I know them. I know them. In fact, I think Brenda, if you missed Brenda's.
I always think about Brenda.
Yes.
Yeah. Brenda Tillman's ex. We had her on the podcast. I don't know. Time is irrelevant when we step in here. This season, at least. She is just, I love being around women. Of, you know, like
she's
that.
Amazing.
She's amazing. So go listen to her. She's just, yeah. And luckily I see all kinds of women like this and I'm in a lot of spaces with women in their 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you're living your best life.
Yeah.
This is so exciting that this is what I have to look forward to because like it or not, even me who tries to stay like very intentional of every thought, I've had moments of like, wait, so I'm almost 50 and I'm doing my math, which yes, is not the greatest, but I'm like, how many years left do I have? I've had those conversations
really
in my mind of how many years left do I have? I will tell you that doesn't produce the best results in my thought processes, but
does it not?
Not if how many years I have left.
Okay.
something about that is, and it might just be me.
Okay, because to me that can be like an incitive sort of like, okay, like what do I want to do? What matters? What doesn't? How am I?
It's the way you approach it, whether you're approaching it with abundance or lack.
Okay.
So at times I have approached that from a lack. Mm-hmm. How many years do I have left mm-hmm. from a lack? I've only got mm-hmm. however many years okay. left. Like, let's just go into my 90s, you know, like till maybe 40 years left. Mm-hmm. But I think about my first 40 years and how quickly they went by and how little I actually had figured out. and that feels very lack.
Okay.
I have done it through abundance of like, because the other thing is we have no idea how many years we have left, right?
No.
It could be tomorrow. And when I think that way, if it's tomorrow, I'm like, I've done so much good work.
Yeah, I've
learned
absolutely
to live my life to its fullest mm-hmm. in a lot of areas. I don't feel like I'm done, but if I were to be done tomorrow, I'm good. Like I'm good. I feel good. Mm-hmm. So in abundance, and I think if I'm good now, and I got 30 years left of this.
That's how I think.
How much better can I be?
I like watch out world. Uh-huh. You're gonna see more and more and more of me.
I was really fortunate in this regard when I was younger. I had a number of positive references of like women thriving. My not my actual grandpa, but he was like a grandpa. His mom was in her 70s or so and would come back from like hiking trips. She was one of the most active women that I knew. And I was like, yes, that. And then I made a friend a number of years ago and his mother was 103 years. She lived to be 103 years old. And I got to hear the story of how she finally passed too. And up until that, I think maybe around the time, even up to 100, she lived on her own. She had family nearby, but she was fully functional and she was so beautiful. And I was like, yes, that. And then, you know, taking it back several before that, I got to watch my mom, and my mom was in her late 50s, right before she turned 60, decided to like pick up an old dream, move to New York City with my dad. And they were like, yeah, your time, let's go. And I like, and she still, a friend of mine came with me to visit New York City a month or two ago. And we had a few days hanging out with my mom and we were going to the botanical gardens and pop around the city. And she's like, I don't know if I can keep up with your mom. I was like, that's how I feel sometimes. I'm continuously I have this aim of like, okay, but she knows how to rest. She just like, she lives her life big. She lives it hard. And so I've seen where, how like, it makes me excited for what's to come. Like, oh man, how good can it get? If I'm getting to know these things and learn these things now, we're here. We've got another 10, 15, 30, 40, 50.
I know. Who knows?
Yeah. Don't know, but I get excited by that thought.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So someone out there from your potential life stage mm-hmm. is listening to this. Mm-hmm. And maybe they are struggling in their life stage. Maybe they are, you know, deep in menopause and are hating life at the moment or in their reproductive years. I mean, we're always in our reproductive years.
Yeah.
So we're trying to label your, you know, Mackenzie's stage of life, 30s.
Right.
Or Cadence, you know, 18 years old. What would you want them to know? Something you just maybe picked up through actually speaking about it, or something that you've been kind of holding on to. What would you want to say if you were out there listening and to give them hope, or at least to let them know there's another story out there?
Yeah.
What would you say? We'll start with Angela.
Well, I think I'd say don't be afraid of menopause. Don't dread it. The word that keeps coming up is, or the words are, lean into it. Lean into it. Listen to your body and learn what it's trying to tell you. It's clearly some of the symptoms and the things that we have, I think, are there to slow us down so that we can be quiet and we can listen and then be able to change those things that need to change. And lean into, you know, obviously you listen to the Mind Change podcast for a reason. So get the book, or, you know, do some what we call self-work. That's all outlined in the book or what have you. Just if you don't know how to do that, some of you may already know, yeah, I know how to listen to my body and what to do. But if you don't, there are great tools out there to be able to help you able to just sit quietly and figure, okay, what needs to change? Maybe what mindset or what thoughts or cultural understandings or things about, you know, I understand about me that really aren't true. What's out there that I can look at and I can change so that I can continue to grow? Because we are constantly growing. I think that's one thing I love about, we were talking about Brenda, is she is constantly learning and growing. She doesn't feel like she's arrived. She just keeps growing and getting better. And I think menopause can be a push towards that, to grow and to get better.
Mm. Yes, I love that. Mm-hmm. Speaking as the perimenopause voice, I'm excited, actually, of the thought of that place in my brain that, like, is – and I feel like my brain's already pretty good at neuroplasticity because I practice it.
Right.
I'm like, this is going to supercharge everything. So I'm kind of – I am writing my story of – where I'm going to be post-menopause and what that's going to look like. And I'm preparing it now.
Yeah. Love it.
So I'm starting to do the work now. Like, I think, okay, what are your typical symptoms? Hot flashes and, you know, not sleeping and highs and lows emotionally. And am I missing any? Weight gain, anxiety, trying to think of all the things that people are like, please talk about this. Yeah. All of those things. Okay. Those are all messages. They're all communications. Right. So I'm already thinking now, like, how am I not dealing with anger? Because anger's not a negative thing. Anger's a really powerful force. But we're meant to experience it and then move through it. Mm-hmm. And so many of us don't actually do the experiencing, or it comes out in these rah. Right? We lash out and then we feel guilty and we feel ashamed. I was like, okay, creating spaces around healthy anger release. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, Heather, what are you mad about? Like, what are you mad about? Just kind of like, what makes you mad? Mm-hmm. And giving myself a little bit of, you know what I'm actually mad about? Animal abuse. Like, I know it seems weird, but those are the things I cannot... You know, and I'm like, okay, so can I change worldwide animal abuse? No. This is just one thing, by the way. I'd be mad about a lot of stuff. But then like, okay, what am I going to do? I love my rescue animals and I give and I change the story for me. I change the story for me. And that's all I can do. Right? So I'm just thinking about these things and dealing with them now and doing a lot of the work now. Mm-hmm. And I will say I'm very lucky. I have a lot of tools and I have a lot of support and I know how to do this. So yeah, that's what I'm doing perimenopausally, is preparing for a really awesome ride. Yeah.
Love it.
To my crone stage. Bring it on. Yeah. All right. So Mackenzie.
I was thinking slightly while you were talking and I'm still not sure, but what does come to mind is there came a point as we've been talking, I got mildly self-conscious because I realized how many times I've said the word possible. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the theme for me. Like all things are possible around birth, around the kind of experience you can have, around menstruation, around menopause. It's like that there are other good things are possible. And I think too, sometimes, you know, I spend a lot of time in like really intimate conversation, like with women of all stages of life, right? Like I get to the honor of working with women in their 70s and their 60s and their 50s and their 40s and their 30s. And I'm there with teenagers and I have little ones from the families I'm connected to running around. And we're all actually kind of going through the same stuff. Mm. We're all on the same journey. So it's not like, do I have this or do I have this? Like waiting for some, I don't know. I think a lot of times we can get into alternatives. Like if I had this, if I had more free time, if only I had children, if I were in my career, if I were, and instead it's all the same kind of stuff. So I think that like being able to embrace wherever we are, whatever we want, and to know that other things are possible and ways of doing it that we can do it the ways that we want to, not the, like, all the circumstances come and play out exactly in the particular way that I want, not that kind of external sort of power, But the things that we're looking for from those, that we have the opportunity to cultivate within ourselves. And then from that, a lot of those things that we wish were possible can open up and are. So I think that's probably what my, like, it's all the same stuff. We're having a lot of the same learning. It's all just as valid, what, no matter what stage and phase you're in. And maybe even that we have so many things built in biologically that we're going to get to what we need to as we choose to embrace it. So much comes up in each stage of life, you know, like those are really big transition times. So everything that seems like a, is really actually the opportunity for a rebirth constantly.
Love it.
Yep. Cadence.
Yeah. I would have to say it's a blessing more than a curse to have your cycle. It's a blessing for where you are right now. And you can't like wish it away. You can't wish your life away. You can't wish like, I looked different, or I wish I didn't have the cycle, or I wish that I wasn't in this stage of my life right now. But it's important because you're so lucky to look the way you do now. You're so lucky to be in the stage you are now. You're so lucky to have the cycle and connect with the earth and connect with the world. And I think it's, you just can't wish your life away in that way. And it's lucky, and you're lucky. You have to work with it. Just learn to work with it instead of against it. And your body will thank you for that. It's screaming at you, like you said. Like you said, it will scream at you if you don't listen to it. And I feel like that's how I feel, is that you have to work with it instead of against it. So don't wish it away. It's, you're lucky to be having it and where you are right now.
Words of wisdom. Love that, right? Gosh, don't wish it away. How many years I spent waiting for whatever next phase.
Right?
Right? Like, you're young. Oh, I can't wait to be, and I can't wait to be. Instead of, and I think, Cadence, you're right. Your body's like, but now.
No.
Yeah.
Now, wait, what about now? And now, and then now. And it keeps being now. Mm-hmm. And the more that we're in the now, I think that's probably, as a woman, what I've seen is one of our biggest struggles is being in the past or the present and worrying one way or the other, regret or worry, regret about what we did and worry about what we are doing or not doing or, you know, whatever. It's just, we stay in the make-believes instead of just being in the now. So Cadence, I think that is wise words.
Right.
Sweet.
No amount of guilt can change the past. No amount of anxiety can change the future.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. All right. Anything else we should say, didn't say, need to cover?
I think we talked a lot.
As we would.
We covered it.
So thank all of you for joining us once again on the Mind Change Podcast. We'd love to hear you, your voice, your story, how this resonated with you. Talk to us. This is a conversation. And even though you're not maybe sitting up here at this table right now, we invite you to the table and we want to hear what you have to say. So please comment, share, like. This actually is not just for women. Men would do, I think, really well to hear some of the unique things that we go through and the way we think and what's happening with our body. So share this. If you love somebody, share it with them. Male, female, stage of life, just do it. Because I really think that changing the story is going to benefit all of us, no matter where we find ourselves. Gender, age, stage, anything. So thank you for joining us once again on the Mind Change Podcast, where we are changing the world one mind at a time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Mind Change Podcast. We hope that you found the insights and inspiration shared today valuable in your own journey of personal growth. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast, or if you're watching us on YouTube, please like and follow us there. And we would really appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star rating and review. It has measurable impact on how well we're able to reach others and continue to produce more free content to share. But mostly, thank you for taking this time as an opportunity to invest in yourself. Until next time, let's keep changing the world one mind at a time.